Morning. I just want to use one part of a verse number 22, the first part of that verse, where it says, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine." A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. You know, the Bible is the Word of God. I believe that with all my heart. But the Bible is also a history book. The Bible is also a book of great literature. Bible is also a medical book, and the things that it talks about when it comes to our health are just as true as the other things in the Bible. And so when it says, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine," what that verse is saying is that if we can have a merry heart, it'll keep us from getting sick. If we can have a merry heart, our sickness won't last so long. If we can have a merry heart, it will be good for us. Now, the Bible was written thousands of years ago. Actually, it was written before the foundation of the world was laid. It's an eternal book. And we've seen studies in our day that has proved what this verse says. There was a king named Frederick II. He ruled Sicily in the 13th century. He wanted to run an experiment, so he took a bunch of orphans and said, "I wonder what language they will speak if nobody talks to them when they're children. I wonder if their language skills will just develop naturally." Well, so he put them in an orphanage, and he fed them and he took care of them, but nobody talked to them. And as a result, most of them died within the first 2 years of life because they did not have any joy in their life. The joy of a mom or dad holding them, cuddling them, kissing them. The joy of brothers and sisters that played games with them, they did not have that joy. They did not have a merry heart. And as a result, they died. John Hopkins, back in 1915, they took orphans again, and they put them in two different kinds of homes, a home that was full of joy and laughter, and a home that was just full of stern disciplinarians. And they wanted to see which ones would turn out better. And of course, again, according to this verse in the Bible, merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Those that were in the homes that were full of love and joy, they were 2 inches taller, 3 to 4 inches, or 3 to 4 pounds heavier. They were smarter, and they were more well-balanced children than those that had no love and joy. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And this morning, I hope you have a merry heart. If you don't, the Bible doesn't leave us without knowing how to have one. In fact, Jesus himself told us how to have a merry heart, because there's 3 times that's recorded in the Scripture where Jesus said, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. And that word cheer comes from the same word that the word merry, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And so the Bible says, hey, in fact, God's saying, hey, I can help you cut down on your doctor bills. Because I've read studies, doctors say that 75% of the people that come to them, there's nothing physically wrong with them. Their sicknesses are, I don't know what, there's a big word that starts with a P, I can never remember it. But there's nothing wrong with their bodies. And so the Bible says, if you have a merry heart, it's good like a medicine. You won't need the medicine. You can save on your prescription bills. We can put some of these drugstores out of business, and we can save, you know, solve the health care crisis that we have in this country if we just get a hold of this scripture that says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And Jesus said, I'll tell you how to have a merry heart, because again, there's 3 times in the Bible where he says, be of good cheer. I want to just talk to you about those three times this morning. And if you don't have a merry heart, maybe one of these things holds the key for you having a merry heart. The first one is found in Matthew chapter 9. Jesus had just come into Nazareth, and verse 2 of chapter 9 says, "And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee." Now, we know the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey says, because Jesus was going to cure this man and cure him of his palsy. But the physical cure had nothing to do with be of good cheer. Jesus said, be of good cheer because your sins are forgiven. You want to have a merry heart this morning? Get your sins forgiven. You want to have that merry heart that's good like a medicine? Get your sins forgiven. You say, okay, preacher, how do I get my sins forgiven? Not by joining the church. Not by getting baptized. Not by taking communion. You get your sins forgiven one way, and that's like these 14 little boys and girls did on Friday night. They told, Brian spent all week talking to us about sin. I mean, and you that were here know, every night we covered a different sin. And so how do you get your sins forgiven? You realize that you're a sinner. You realize there's nothing that you can do to take care of those sins, and the wages of sin is death. And then you realize that Jesus Christ, God's Son, went to the cross. He gave His life to pay for our sins. And you come to Jesus and you say, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve hell. I know I deserve to be separated from You forever. But I'm trusting what You did for me on Calvary to take care of my sins. I want You to be my Savior. And the Bible says that if we'll call upon Him and confess with our mouth and believe in our hearts, He'll save us. He'll save us. And that's how you get forgiveness of sins. I want to tell you this morning, your preacher has a merry heart because his sins has been forgiven. By the way, I'm a sinner. I told the little kids in Sunday school, you know, sometimes when that light turns yellow, I put my foot on that pedal and I speed up and I go through it too, especially when I'm in a hurry. And I'm a sinner. Not only am I have a merry heart because my sins are forgiven, I have a merry heart. Sierra, don't smile so big because that tells me what goes on when you're in the car with somebody. But anyhow, I have a merry heart this morning because not only are my sins forgiven, I have a merry heart this morning because there is going to be no more sins put on my record. Huh? Let me give you an example. Let's say, and I'm going to just make this up. Let's say that Brother Leonard and I leave at the same time this morning. And since I'm telling the story, I'm going to be saved and he's still going to be a lost sinner. Okay? So we come out here to Saginaw Street. We come up to the red light. We're in our car side by side. And the light turns green. And we put our foot on the gas and we start to go across the intersection. And we both hear this car, this car that sounds a lot like Terry's, coming down the street. And he runs the red light. And we have to put our foot on the brake and step. I'm just kidding, Terry. Just kidding. We put our foot on the brake and we stop and we both say something we shouldn't have said. I mean, I'm not going to tell you what Brother Leonard said, but we both say something that we shouldn't say. Up in heaven, the angels are watching and the angels say to God, God, did you see that? Both of those guys said something they shouldn't have said. Get the book out. We got to write it down. And they get the book out that has Brother Leonard's list of sin. Looks like War and Peace. But they get that book out. And God says, go ahead, write it down. He said something he shouldn't have said. And the angel gets his book out, writes it down, said something he shouldn't have said. The angel says, okay, let me have Manning's book. We got to put it in his book too. And God said, no, we're not writing in his book. And the angel says, why not? Do you like Manning, brother, than you do Brother Leonard? I mean, he said the same word. Got to put it down on his record too. God said, no, we're not putting it down on his record. And the angel says, well, why not? You're showing favoritism. You gotta be a just God. You gotta treat everybody the same. That's when Jesus steps in and says, hey, angel, you want to write that on somebody's record? Write it on mine. Write it on mine. I have a merry heart this morning because when I sin, as I do, as I will, as all you do, and as all you will, the Bible says that there is no, because when we ask Jesus to be our Savior, that there is no more sin recorded on our record. That's why the Bible says, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Blessed, Paul writes, and he's quoting from the Psalms, blessed, happy is the man whom the Lord will not impute sins. And I know there's a lot of people that say about us Baptists, oh, you Baptists believe once saved, always saved. That just gives you a license to sin. And you're saved forever, and by the way, we are, but it's not a license to sin. Man, when we realize what Jesus did for us and we remind ourselves with the Lord's Supper, we want to live a life that's pleasing to Him. But Paul said, shall we sin that His grace can continue? He said, no, God forbid. Well, we believe in once saved, always saved, but we don't believe it's a license to sin. We believe that God wants us to live our life that's pleasing to Him. But I have a merry heart this morning, and you should too if you're a Christian. Because not only is all your sins in the past forgiven, there will not be another sin written on your record. In my little story, who do you think's happier, me or Leonard? I am. It's going on his book, not mine. You want to have a merry heart? Get your sins forgiven. Get a record that will never have another one written on him. Second time that Jesus said, be of good cheer, is recorded in Matthew chapter 14. Disciples were in a boat, middle of the sea, middle of a storm. This is the story where Jesus comes walking to them on the storm, on the waves. This is a time where Peter said, "Oh, if you're really Jesus, let me get out of the boat and walk to you." It was that storm. And here's what Jesus said to them, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." What gives us a merry heart? That doeth good like a medicine. It's when we realize that in the middle of the storms that come into our life, Jesus is there with us. And what he said to the disciples that night in the middle of that storm, there's 10 or 15 people in this room this morning that need to hear those very words. And know that just as much as Jesus was saying to those disciples, it is, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid, you need to hear those same words. You need to understand that in the storms that this life brings, that in the heartaches and the hardships that come along with living life on this earth, we have a God, we have a Savior that says to us, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I'm going to be with you. I'm not going to keep you out of the storms, and you'll find no place in the Bible where God says, I'll keep you out of the storms. But you'll find over and over and over and over again in this book, he says, I will be with you. I remember one time, I don't even remember how old I was, and I still to this day, I'm amazed that my dad did it. On a Wednesday night, I decided that I didn't want to go to church. I thought I was grown. I don't know, maybe I was 9, maybe I was 10 years old. I said, I'm going to stay home. Dad said, okay. Took my mom, my two brothers, they went to church on Wednesday night. I got scared. I mean, you know how you're alone in the house sometimes and it's dark and you hear strange noises? And you think somebody's about to break in and kill you. That's how I felt. I got scared. I got so scared that I called my grandpa. He lived about 3 miles away. And I called my grandpa. I said, Grandpa, there's somebody trying to break into the house and kill me. He said, where's your dad? I said, well, he went to church and left me. He left me all alone, all by myself. Of course, I didn't tell him I wanted to stay home. So he came over. And when my grandpa got there, I wasn't scared anymore. You know, sometimes our little children get scared. And if they can just know that mom or dad is there, their fear goes away. Because you see, when our kids are little, they think mom and dad can do anything. They think dad can find the monster that's in the closet and kill him and throw him out. They think mom can fix every hurt, no matter what it is. When we get older, we need to remember that we have a God that can kill every monster that's hiding in every closet. We need to remember that we have a God that can fix every hurt. And we need to remember that regardless of what we're going through, He's there with us. And we're never, ever alone. I should say, preacher, You just don't know. Oh, I know. I know. I know sometimes it feels like you're all by yourself and there ain't nobody that knows what's going on. I want to remind you this morning, there is somebody that knows what's going on. Somebody, as Angie sang about a moment ago, that loves you and loves me more than we'll ever realize. And regardless of what's the storm that you're in right now, hear Jesus when he says, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. And then number three, the third time that Jesus said, be of good cheer, it was at the end of his earthly life. He's meeting with the disciples right before the crucifixion. He was warning them about what was going to happen. He was saying, I'm going to be delivered into the hands of the Gentiles. I'm going to be tried. They're going to do things to me that you don't want them to do. I'll be crucified and I'll die. But then he said this, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Be of good cheer. Let your heart be merry, for I have overcome the world. You know, you watch TV, you read a newspaper, and you think Satan's winning. You look at what's happening in our country, and look at what's happening around the world, and say, boy, Satan's got the upper hand. Satan's just, he's going to win. I got some news for you this morning. I read the last chapter, the last book in the Bible. I know who's going to win. And it ain't no snooty face. He's going to be cast into that place of fire for 1,000 years. We're going to reign with him for 1,000 years. And then he's going to be out and he's going to fool the nations for a little while longer. And then he's going to be cast into hell forever. Forever. And then all of us that know Christ are going to go to heaven and we're going to live forever. 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 So let me ask you this morning, how's your heart? How's your heart? Do you have a merry heart? Maybe you need to get your sins forgiven. Only one way to do that. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. If you're here today, I got news for you. You're a sinner. There's a penalty for that sin. That penalty is death, separation from God. Jesus Christ paid the penalty for you. For you. And if you'll receive him this morning, he'll take off your record every sin that you've ever committed, and he'll never write another one on there. If you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, first step you need to take to get a merry heart is to come and receive him. If you're here today and you're a Christian, going through some trials and heartaches, let me remind you, there's somebody there with you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And by the way, how can we not have a merry heart when we realize what's going to happen in the end? We're going to get to go to heaven. We're going to get to walk on the street made out of gold, go through gates of pearl, and we're going to get to see our Savior face to face. Face to face. Got a merry heart this morning? You can have one. You can have one. You may have come in with a broken heart. You can leave with a heart that says, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Great things he hath done. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the truth that comes from your word. I pray if there's just one person here that's never asked.